very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of the congregation, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Worshiping with us today is one of my colleagues from Cameroon, the Reverend Dr. Mrs. Funke Perpetua. She is the wife of the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. She is the National Communications Secretary of our church in Cameroon, and she is in charge of the Counseling Center of the PCC. She holds a PhD in Clinical Counseling from the United States. So she's visiting with us this week to see the baby. She actually came to England or to London for a conference on mental health. I would also love to welcome all those who are worshiping via Zoom and all those who will be listening to our service afterwards from our website. On another note, and a sad one, we've just received news that yesterday, Jim Stephen, one of our elders who turned 100 years last month, passed on to glory yesterday. Can I ask the congregation to kindly stand, please, for a moment of silence? Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Write, happy are those who from now on die in the service of the Lord, for their labor will accompany them. May the soul of our brother Jim Stephen and all those who've died in faith rest in perfect peace. Amen." Please be seated. Our call to worship.
Our call to worship today has been requested from Psalm 32, and we are reading verses 1 to 7 and 10, 11. And as I was reading this psalm and trying to practice it, I discovered that supposedly it's St. Augustine's favorite psalm, and he had it posted up in his deathbed. Call to worship. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Amen. We are now going to sing hymn 132, Immortal Invisible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We exalt you, Lord God, the God who has made all things in creation and called them good, the God who has woven heaven and earth together, who taught the sun to rise and the stars to dance. Mighty in power and works, strong is your love and tender is your touch. The heart of the earth is cradled in your hand. Each grain of sand is known to you. The whole world is drenched in your Holy Spirit. Every atom of this universe is seen and cherished. How can it be then that this very God, this highest host of heaven, knows and loves each of us? How can it be then that this very God has made it so that we might draw close in worship and adoration here, now, in this very place? Draw close even when we have wandered far, and draw close even when our hearts are heavy, when we struggle to believe you care or that you are even there at all. Hear us, Lord, and be merciful to us. Lord, be our help. We thank you, Lord, who lifts us from the depths, who saves us and heals us, who restores and reshapes us, and who equips us to restore and reshape all of creation. O Holy One, we call to you and name you as eternal, ever-present and boundless in love. Yet there are times, O God, when we fail to recognize you in the dailiness of our lives. Sometimes shame clenches tightly around our hearts, and we hide our true feelings. Sometimes fear makes us small, and we miss the chance to speak from our strength. Sometimes doubt invades our hopefulness, and we degrade our own wisdom. Holy God, in the daily round from sunrise to sunset, remind us again of your holy presence hovering near us and in us. Free us from shame and self-doubt. Help us to see you in the moment-by-moment possibilities, to live honestly, to act courageously, and to speak from our wisdom. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing our next hymn, 212, Morning Has Broken. Good morning, children. Are there any children in church this morning? Good morning. How are you guys? Doing all right? It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? No, it's not so beautiful. It's been raining. I have some two persons sitting up there. Can anyone recognize them? Who are those two people sitting there? Sitting very comfortably up there. Who are those two people? Claire, that's Claire. Correct answer. And the other one is Mrs. Owen. Wonderful. So that is Claire and that is Mrs. Owen. I think Claire is the only daughter of Mrs. Owen. And I know that Mrs. Owen loves Claire very much. And of course, why not? But I know she loves all of you very much. And she has decided to give you people some free gifts this morning. Do you see the bag up there? There are some nice things inside that bag. Sweeties. Pardon? Yeah, we are going to. She wants us to give them away to you people. Now, you are allowed to go up there and collect them, but on one condition. You must not cross the stairs or the steps here. So, if you can go up there without crossing these steps, then you go get it. That's the only condition. So, who is going to go first? Oh, you want to go? Okay, Zara, let's see. Whether Ariel, go get it. But you don't have to cross the steps. No, no, you've crossed. You've crossed. No, but you did not touch them. That's very smart. But you crossed anyway. Is it possible to go up there without crossing these steps? Is it possible? Is it possible? No, it's not possible. Now, Mrs. Owen is very kind. She has asked her daughter to come and get you so that you can get those sweeties, the free gift that she's offered to all of you. And it's going to be a difficult task for anybody, but I'm sure that she knows or they know what they are doing. So, is Claire not so brave to want to do that assignment? She's very brave, isn't she? So now, I'm going to ask Claire to come and get all of you up there. She can break the rules. Good. All right, we are not going to open the bag now. We'll do that when we are having teas and coffees. Now, you realize, face the congregation, you realize that it was very difficult for you to cross this. But then Mrs. Owen had to send her daughter to come and get you. All of us are sinners and we have fallen short of God's glory. There is no way we can go directly to God because of our sins and all the things that we do that are not good. But God decided to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to come and get us so that we can have salvation and eternal life. So we cannot walk our way to heaven. Jesus has to take us. And that is how wonderful God is. All we need to do is to trust God, to believe in him, and to accept the free gift which he has given us through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. The love that led you to send Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to come into the world and give us that life, eternal life. We pray again for our children as they grow in the faith, that you continue to open their minds and bless them richly with your word, that they live by it and continue to honor and worship you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You can now go to your seats. You get your gift at the end of the service. Thank you very much. And our next theme, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, 10,000 Reasons.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 22 to 28. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honoured me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offences. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned, your spokesman rebelled against me. So I will disgrace the dignitaries of your temple, and I will consign Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. Our second reading is Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is number 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Dear Christian friends, one of the most empowering thoughts in human life and development is that people can achieve whatever they desire or they seek. The only thing they need is a spark of goodness, judicious use of time and effort to become great and even famous. Perhaps echoing those views, Mark Twain commented that 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you did not do than by the ones you did. And Harriet Tubman said, "Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength and patience and a passion to reach for the stars, to change the world." Both Twain and Tubman agree that one must put in effort and dream the best of life to achieve set goals and to flourish in life. And I am personally convinced that hard work and big dreams can lead to great results and accomplishments in the world of men, women, and children. But what about working for our salvation as we labor in the vineyard of God, both as ministers and Christian people? How do we achieve spiritual growth and salvation? Is it by work or by grace through faith? Or again, is it possible to be such a sinful soul and still enjoy the favor of Almighty God? You know, friends, there are many Christian people who think that by doing so much, whether in church or in secular society, they can guarantee their salvation, and they become proud about it. And you and I know that pride is a terrible thing, and not least in spiritual matters. As C.S. Lewis puts it, pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. When people think they can please God to earn his reward, they become proud and fail to serve their neighbor. The Jewish law placed burdens on people and made them feel they could buy the favor of God through good works. To challenge this idea and even deny it, the Apostle Paul uses the example of Abraham, the greatest of the patriarchs and one of the most distinguished of Old Testament saints. From Abraham's story, Paul shows that human beings cannot save themselves by good works. And then he uses David, the greatest of the kings and one of the chief sinners recorded in the Old Testament, to show that no human being can be excluded from the love and salvation of God. There are 2 points for our reflection this morning. And the first is that we cannot save ourselves by good works. The case of Abraham. If ever there was a faithful man and well acclaimed amongst his people, that man was Abraham. He's pictured in the Bible with various characteristics. A righteous man with wholehearted commitment to God. A man of peace in settling a boundary dispute with his nephew, Lot. A compassionate man, He argues and bargains with God to spare the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. A hospitable man, he welcomes three visiting angels and gives them shelter and food. If Abraham could not be saved by works, then who can? Abraham was not saved because of the good things he did, but because he believed in God. Now, we are told in our text that when a man works, his wages are not given to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Paul is making a case that no human being has ever been justified or made right with God by following the works of the law. He points to Abraham as a prime example. It was faith in God, not his own works, which allowed Abraham to be justified before God. Paul made this very argument to the Christians in the region of Galatia. In Galatians 3:6, they were being persuaded by a group known as the Judaizers that they must be circumcised and follow the law in addition to believing in Christ to be truly saved. Paul used the example of Abraham in that letter as well to show that this argument was false. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteousness because of his faith. In other words, people's work might earn them the applause of men and women and even children, but never the applause of God. For God's standards are higher and holier than anything conceived by human beings. We are bound to sin as long as we live in the flesh, and our only hope is in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Abraham did not trust in his own merits. One of the lessons I learned from this text is that our work as human beings are often characterized by imperfection, whether of a moral, spiritual, or even physical nature. And to claim that we can please God by doing things or by simply being holy is to completely miss the point. It is to be spiritually proud and arrogant, and to be victims of what Beth Moore calls spiritual elitism. When people frequently refer to themselves as evidence that if a person does right by the standards of the organization or individuals, they too will have a wonderful life free from the struggles and misfortunes of known believers' lives. Beth Moore cautions that we must be careful to avoid spiritual elitism. Everything we are and anything we possess as believers in Christ is a gift of the grace of God. Pure hearts before God must be cleansed from any hint of spiritual pride. So it is faith and not works that is necessary for our salvation. Under the system of works, everything depends on the sinner. Under grace, everything depends on the Savior. It is a huge mistake for us to think that we can save ourselves in the spiritual realm by the things that we do. But we must also learn the lesson of dependence and patience in everyday life. On Sunday, March 6, 1881, a sailing ship was wrecked off the north coast of Scotland. Fishermen on shore made several attempts to get a line on board, but the wind was so strong. However, they succeeded by using an empty barrel. There were 11 men on board, but only 4 or 5 were able to do anything because the others were helplessly cold. As soon as the apparatus was in working order for the traveling cage, which was to be drawn along the rope, One young sailor was put into it, and a few minutes he found himself on shore in the hands of kind friends. Just before the first man was saved, the tide and wind swung round the ship among the rocks, and the traveling apparatus became entangled across her bow and became unmanageable. Then a man descended from the vessel and tried to save himself by coming along the rope hand over hand, but his efforts were futile. The waves were beating over him like falling houses, and only after a very short distance from the ship, the heavy winds swept over him, and he dropped into the surging waves, and that was his end. A few moments after this, the bow of the ship lifted again over the rocks, and soon the apparatus was disentangled and again walkable, and all of the other persons were safely brought to the shore. When the captain was asked about the lost man, this is what he said. "We tried to persuade him not to attempt such a useless task, as it would be impossible for him to reach the shore in that way, but he would not listen to us." "A fine fellow he was," added the captain, "the best man in the crew, but he was lost because he tried to save himself in his own way." Yes, friends, the rest were saved, but by other hands than their own. Can I say to you, human powers are wholly inadequate for salvation, and to rely upon them is to invite an insure spiritual disaster. And the second and last point is that no human being can ever be excluded from the love of God. The case of David is very different from that of Abraham. Abraham was faithful and true. David wasn't. Here, Paul quotes Psalm 32, which was written by David after the public exposure of his secret sins. In connection with Bathsheba, David had coveted, committed adultery, and murdered, breaking 3 of the 10 commandments. His seduction of Bathsheba and his camouflaged murder of Uriah exposed David to the death penalty on 2 counts. And according to the strict letter of the Mosaic law, there was no hope for him at all. The sacrificial system of the Old Testament made no provision for willful sin. That is why David cried in another of the penitential psalms born in this same period, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." David's desperate case cast all on God, our Heavenly Father. And out of this experience, David learned 2 vital truths concerning salvation, truths which he wrote into Psalm 32 and which Paul picks up to strengthen his argument. The first of these is that salvation is freely bestowed. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." David discovered the way to true happiness and to true holiness without works. What could David do to restore to Bathsheba her chastity and to Uriah his life? What could he do to restore his own lost innocence? Nothing. His case was hopeless. But then God stepped in and in sovereign grace freely canceled David's sin and counted him as righteous. It is about simple faith in the naked promise of God. And you know how David felt when he realized how dirty he was before God. He confessed to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin." That was all that David had, but that was enough. Salvation is freely bestowed. And secondly, David learned that cancelled sin is forever banished. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. David discovered a way to have his sins not only forgiven but forgotten, not only covered but cancelled. When God forgives, he blots out the record. God says, I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Isaiah 43 verse 2. And God can transform the stains and sins of our lives and make us even more beautiful people. I read about the story of Sir Edwin Landseer, who was one of the most famous painters of the Victorian era. His talent developed early, and he had the first showing of his work at the Royal Academy when he was just 13 years old. He was commissioned to do a number of official portraits of the royal family and even gave private drawing lessons to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. But he was best known for his depictions of the natural settings and life in the Scottish Highlands. One day he was visiting a family in an old mansion in Scotland. One of the servants spilled a pitcher of soda water, leaving a large stain on the wall. While the family was out for the day, Landseer remained behind. Using charcoal, he incorporated the stain into a beautiful drawing. When the family returned, they found a picture of a waterfall surrounded by trees and animals. He used his skill to make something beautiful out of what had been an unsightly mess. Dear Christian friends, God works in much the same way in our lives. The things that we think of as weaknesses and handicaps can, through his grace, become our greatest strengths and the very things he uses the most to bring glory to himself. God's grace provides the strength to meet every challenge and overcome every weakness. And you know what grace is? A.W. Tozer tells us, grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits upon the undeserving. Its use to us sinful people is to save us and make us sit together in heavenly places to demonstrate to the ages the exceeding riches of God's kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I pray you do not boast about anything about your life, even your Christian life. We are not saved by works. And do not be too disappointed because of that sin within or in your own life. God still loves and cares for us. His grace is sufficient for all time. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. We thank you for your grace that has come to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us, O Father, to acknowledge our sin before you and to be faithful so that the promises which you make for us will come to fruition. Forgive our complacency and accept us as we are. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, 442, Blessing and Honor, Glory and Power.
Let us pray, prayer of dedication. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you are Lord of heaven and earth. In your sovereign power and love, you have given us all things to enjoy. Accept our offerings to you this day, Lord, along with the gratitude for all the gifts you have showered upon us. Amen. Now, an intercessory prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, humbly we draw close to you and ask you to hear our prayers, requests, and petitions. My Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Your word encourages us to come to the throne of grace with confidence that our prayers will be heard. May your Holy Spirit come in power and aid us as we pray. Beloved Father God, may our hearts be united as we pray before you today. Pray in us today. Father, grant us the joy of forgiveness as we turn our hearts to your saving grace. Lord, we ask wisdom for our government. We ask that they work towards a fairer and more equal society. Remind them of the privileged position to change circumstances that are unfair and only beneficial for some of the people. Lord, we ask your protection for the children as they take their summer break. Watch over them. We ask your blessing on summer clubs, summer camps, where they may learn about you and how much you love them. Pray for patience, energy, and wisdom for those who organize the activities. We also pray for all young people to come to know your ways. Lord, may there be a safe place for vulnerable young people to be protected from cruelty, abuse, and exploitation. We are encouraged to pray for everyone, kings and all those in authority over us, that we might have peace. My Lord, your love, your mercy, and your forgiveness is needed in your broken world, your fractured church, and your wounded people. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, we ask you to give clear counsel to the church leaders as they are seeking your way forward. May the power of your Holy Spirit be released in every place of worship. Help each of us to do our part and support our ministers, our readers, and those who work behind the scenes. Teach us to pray, pray in us, and enable us to share the good news of forgiveness and redemption from guilt. Release us from all hypocrisy. Help us to love one another with the love that you lavish on us. Grant us opportunities to share the gospel of grace and forgiveness. Father, we know that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. We do not always understand why some things happen as they do, but we believe we must look to you to bring peace and reconciliation to the warring nations. We put our hope in your redeeming love for the people of Ukraine, Afghanistan, Yemen, and all nations and tribes in horrific situations. Thank you for those who pray for the ending of all hostilities and all who work for peace. We ask help for the lonely, for the sick, for the bereaved, for the refugees, and all those who have difficult decisions to make. May you be their refuge and hiding place. My Lord, may we draw our life from you, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and by the word from which we get our life, our nourishment, and our spiritual food. Help us to be truly grateful for all our blessings, and may your favor rest upon us, Lord, until you come again. Lord Jesus, in your strong name we pray. Amen.
Let us together affirm our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.